It is time for Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven. Arthur joins us every Monday morning at this time, and we talk about food, various aspects of food. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning. Yes, we talk about food. I've been watching Our Planet. Do you know about Our Planet? It's the David Attenborough series about the state of the planet.
Yes.
Sort of ocean by ocean, desert by desert, plain by plain. And, of course, what comes to, you know, you realize is that being an animal, as we are, it's all about three things, water, food, and sex. So the animals respond to those three things mainly in their life. Oh, and, of course, raising the next generation that's connected to sex. So I'm in this phase, the older phase here, I guess, where food is even more of a focus than it used to be, even though I've spent my life focused on food. So right now I've got to lose some weight, as everybody who listens to this program knows. And I, you know, in my life, I've tried every which way, and I always poo-pooed these, any diet, really, that eliminated the whole food group. But I now find myself on one of those diets. It's not a written diet. In fact, I've been doing a lot of reading about this diet that I'm on, and, you know, it depends on how many carbs a day I've eaten, whether I'm on the keto diet, the carnivore diet. I have to say I'm rarely, if I'm probably never zero carb, because for one thing, I put milk in my coffee, and I can't live without fruit and vegetables. So I've learned which are the high carbohydrate vegetables and the low carb, you know, the ones that are really low, and the ones that are really low are good enough for me mostly. Cabbage is really low. You can eat that in a lot of which ways. But anyway, one of the things about this diet is that it's high in fat. Is low in low to almost zero carbohydrates, which are the food group that give you energy, because that's what your body digests. Is the simpler carbohydrates, the quicker your body uses them. If there are too many, they store it as fat eventually. Just to oversimplify everything. But this diet is significantly high in fat. And has quite a bit of protein, although I read that I can be eating too much protein, which is possible, I guess. Last night I actually had 12 ounces of ground beef. That's probably too much. Anyway, and the vegetables. So one of the things is you have to have more fat than you really are used to. Even me, who is not all that careful about fat in my regular life, although I hardly ever use butter, I mainly use what I consider a healthier fat, olive oil, and I don't eat very much meat, although now I'm eating a lot more meat. Meat is significantly high in saturated fats, but the fact is, if you're eating lean protein, like, let's say, a slice of ham, a cured ham, or I sometimes buy very lean, rare roast beef at my butcher shop. He roasts his own meat, and it's very, very good. And they'll slice it, you know, really thin, like the sandwiches. And that I can eat with a really mayonnaise-y coleslaw, because vegetables can be your vehicle for fat. When you're eating lean, we like shrimp. I like shrimp. Bob loves shrimp, and now we're discovering he loves any kind of shrimp. I've been experimenting with different kinds of shrimp, but shrimp are, you know, relatively bland, and they're very, very lean. So you have a lot of choices of fats that you can add to shrimp. You can make shrimp scampi with a lot of chopped garlic and butter, a lot of butter. So that you could mop up butter and garlic with every bite of shrimp. I made that the other day using rock shrimp. My fancy supermarket some days has rock shrimp. They have been frozen. They're defrosted, but I cook them the same day. It's the same as buying frozen shrimp, to be honest with you. And that's why I don't put my nose up in the air against over frozen shrimp in the frozen food case, because almost all the shrimp you buy, even at the what looks like the fresh fish market, have been frozen before. So the rock shrimp, and the rock shrimp are really tiny.
Are those the shrimp that when I was a kid, my dad used to always buy by the cases, these shrimp cocktails that you had,
I remember that in a jar
they were loaded
in a little jar. In fact, we used to use those as juice glasses afterwards.
That's exactly right. Were those
right? Remember those?
Yeah.
I wonder if they still make that.
I don't
probably
know,
not in glass anymore.
But were they rock shrimp in there?
I don't. They were tiny shrimp.
Oh God!
I'm not sure that they were rock shrimp, and I'm actually not sure.
But they were shrimp.
What my market calls rock shrimp, what they really are.
Yeah.
But I tell you that they're very sweet, and when you cook them up, they're really small, and they're the kind of shrimp that I'm going to use next time when I make this the Chinese shrimp and scrambled eggs. And the last couple times, well, the first time I made it, the shrimp was just too big, and I got really lazy and didn't take the tail shell off, which was ridiculous. The next time I knew better, I took the tail shells off and I cut them into pieces. So they would integrate with the eggs better, but the rock shrimp would be perfect. Anyway, so butter and garlic. Or just butter. On this diet, you can dunk your shrimp into melted butter and no recriminations. So also, the remoulade sauce I outlined, if not last week, a couple of weeks ago. I made that a couple of times during this diet. It lasts for more than one meal. I pour it over shrimp and shredded lettuce, as they would serve it in New Orleans, but you can just dunk your shrimp into it if you want. Forget the lettuce. What else? So in the vegetables as vehicle for fat, there's nothing better than zucchini, I've discovered. So yesterday, now this is something I made some months ago when I was eating pasta, and this was a dressing for pasta. But I'm thinking it was so delicious, why not just eat it for its own sake? And it was zucchini cooked with pancetta and cream, which sounds unlikely, but it's really not. So I used 4 ounces of pancetta. Now, I have been doing this for a zillion years. I asked the guy behind the counter, whether it be my butcher shop where they will slice pancetta for you. This was what I used yesterday. It was from the butcher shop. Or from the fancy supermarket, they'll do the same. However, I don't trust the fancy supermarket. I don't think they have the same turnover in pancetta as my butcher does. Who still caters to a very Italian, let's say Italian-oriented clientele, not necessarily Italian. You know, it's very funny. I think Irish and Italian is the most common. Can we call that an intermarriage, Marshall? I don't know. In New York, of course, they're both Catholic, and but they're exotic to each other. Think about it.
Yeah.
So there's an attraction there, and I find that a lot of the obviously our Irish ladies in my neighborhood. This was originally an Irish neighborhood, not originally, but in the 20th century, prior to its recent incarnation. So there's still a lot of Irish ladies in the neighborhood, and they married Italians. So they're cooking Italian, and they buy pancetta. So that's where I was going with that. In any case, I asked the counter guy to slice me 1/4-inch thick slices of those round pancettas, and that ends up being 2 ounces, I guarantee you. He did it for me the other day, 2 slices like that. It was barely under 4 ounces. Perfect. So I have them cut it that way so that it's easier to cut up myself. I don't have to do, you know. I don't want it very thin. I don't want the, and I don't want it, you know, the Citerio and a couple of other companies sell diced pancetta in a box. It's not bad.
But it's not the
same.
What
I bought was better. What?
It's not the same. I've tried the pancetta like that.
It
doesn't taste as good. It doesn't.
No, it doesn't have good. It doesn't have any flavor.
Yeah.
So in fact, pancetta. By the way, pancetta is a cured meat. It's just bacon. It's been cured with salt and pepper. Usually, sometimes I buy pancetta on Arthur Avenue in the Bronx. That's cured with hot red pepper. Biancardi is the name of the butcher shop that makes that. In any case, I dice up the two slices of pancetta, put them in a saucepan, you know, like a two-quart saucepan, heavy-bottomed pan, with 1 tablespoon of butter. I decided to use butter with this pancetta because I'm adding cream later, and I don't know. Somehow the olive oil didn't in my brain doesn't go as well with cream. Although I know olive oil and cream recipes, olive oil doesn't go as well with cream as a pat of butter, more than a pat. A tablespoon of butter, 4 ounces of diced pancetta, let it cook very very slowly until a good amount of pancetta fat is rendered off, and then. Throw in a smashed clove of garlic. I don't mean smashed to smithereens. I mean just smashed enough to peel it and crack it open and still a whole clove of garlic. You throw that in and let that saute with the pancetta for a few minutes. Don't let it get brown. It's still over fairly low heat. And then I add my zucchini. In this case, it was a quart. I made a lot of zucchini. It was 4 small zucchini, which I'm thinking, looking at it yesterday, was a quart. And how I cut it is I cut them, and I do this a lot with zucchini, depending on what I'm making, but it's one of my favorite ways to cut up a zucchini, just to eat it as a vegetable. I cut the ends off, the very, very ends. Cut it lengthwise in quarters, and then cut the... But across the length, 3/4-inch to 1-inch pieces. Now, it depends on how big a zucchini you have. I bought zucchini intentionally, because I like them small. So I would say that these were like 8-inch at the most. They were 8-inch, and they were rather small in diameter. And then you put the zucchini in. If you want to slice it into thick slices, that's okay, too. Nothing too small. Put it in with the pancetta. Toss it around and let it cook a good 15, covered over low heat, a good 15, even 20 minutes. It's not going to, if it's on fairly low heat, it'll simmer a little bit on the bottom. It's going to, liquid juices from the zucchini, not to mention the fat from the pancetta and butter, will collect on the bottom of the pan, and you toss it around a few times while it's cooking. Keep it covered. You're basically steaming it. And then I did that ahead of time because we needed to take a walk, so I did that before the walk, and when we came home and I was ready to eat, I poured in 1/2 cup of heavy cream. Remember, vegetables as a vehicle for fat. you have to be on. You have to not care about fat. You have to not listen to what you think is the advice, which is to reduce the fats in your diet. This is a different kind of world here. By the way, I am consulting with a doctor who specializes in metabolism in a couple of weeks, just to go through all what I've been doing and see where all my numbers are. This can be hard on your kidneys, so you need to drink a lot of water to keep flushing. You can go through a period where you have to go to the bathroom quite a lot. That's a good sign, apparently. And I do have a little more energy, and I can tell you that I'm not as phlegmy as I used to be. So that's doing some good, and I bet you that my blood sugar is down too. I'm not checking it. So in the vegetables as a vehicle for fat department, another thing I don't usually allow myself is to steam cabbage in a large quantity of butter. Yeah, I'll put a pat of butter in there with the cabbage rinsed and drained. And the moisture stuck to the cabbage, and that pat of butter is enough to wilt and flavor the cabbage. After about 15, 20 minutes, you can eat it, 25 minutes, a half an hour. But if you want to let it go until it's caramelized, that's something else. But as a side dish vegetable, 20 minutes is usually enough. However, 4 tablespoons of butter, in this case, for a half of a head of cabbage, after 20 minutes, turned out to be sort of divine, in the sense that I, for the first time, I said, you know, if I put some grated Parmesan on this, maybe I wouldn't miss pasta. I do miss pasta. I do miss pizza. Some days I miss bread in general. I haven't missed potatoes, interestingly. There have been a couple times I've wanted to eat rice because I was eating Asian food, and it's sort of, you know, that's what happens. You start eating Asian food, and suddenly you understand rice. But mostly I'm cooking a lot of things that I used to cook more often, except I don't because of the fat content. So I mentioned last week a recipe I clipped from the New York Times. For a, what did they call it? They called it pimento cheese frittata. It's a baked frittata. You make it in a 10-inch cast iron skillet. I always like a recipe that specifies the pot you use. Anyway, I said it was a perfect recipe in the sense that everything she said was going to happen happened, and she gave all the information you needed in a concise way. However, we liked it so much that I made it again and changed it. Because I think I may have addressed some skepticism about jarred pimento peppers last week. Well, I went out and bought another jar to make this. I opened the jar, smelled it, tasted it, and said, I'm happy to waste $1.89. And I could use the jar. It's a nice little jar. So I threw away the pimentos. I washed out the jar. And I'm using it. Meantime, I decided, also, this recipe called for a half of a red pepper and a half of an onion. The day I made this, I was making ciambotta, so I had use for the half of a pepper and the half of an onion. But most days I don't. So why not use a whole one? I used a whole small red onion this time, and a whole small regular old onion this time. And I thought, and everything else, I guess, I kept the same. I left out the pimento peppers. And it really was delicious. And I had more than 2 tablespoons of finely chopped chives, only because I had more than that. And, you know, maybe there's going to be a little left. And, you know, I don't want to leave it over in the fridge. And I'm still working on that cream cheese block. So it's a really great recipe. I will definitely make it again, but I'm going to leave out the pimento peppers and increase the red pepper. You saute the red pepper, the onion, and I doubled the jalapeno. I put in 2 jalapeno but instead of the 1 of last time. And even with 2, it's not hot. Jalapenos have a special flavor, and you'll get the flavor and the color. It's nice to have the green, red diced peppers in your frittata, but you won't get the heat. Because once you've sautéed jalapenos for 8 minutes, along with sweet pepper and onion, they're pretty tame. If you really want a hot frittata, add back in some red pepper flakes. Today, we're going to have asparagus, which is a totally allowed low-carb vegetable, with fried eggs, and I'm going to put extra butter in the pan with the fried eggs so that I can brown it a little bit at the end and pour it over the asparagus. Another thing I haven't allowed myself in a while. And then here's one. You know, I buy celery. I use it for this, that, and the other thing, but you don't usually use that much celery. And I recall in my book, What to Cook When You Think There's Nothing in the House to Eat, I talk about celery, and I have a recipe for wilted celery soup, because we all end up with some wilted celery at some time, if not often. And so I've been trying to use my celery so I don't have to make... by the way, the soup has rice in it, so I'm not making it so quick. No, but I've been trying to use my celery after I've done a rib here and a rib there, and I've been cooking it. I'm sure I've mentioned this before on the radio, but I cut those ribs on a sharp, sharp diagonal into, let's say, half-inch pieces, put them in a skillet that has a cover with a couple tablespoons of butter, let's say for 5 ribs of celery. I'm usually doing the inner ribs because the outer ribs I've used, but whatever, you know, a nice amount of butter. You can even use 3 tablespoons of butter. And saute the celery for a couple of minutes, tossing it around in the pan with the butter over medium-high heat. And then add broth, just enough broth to cover the bottom of the pan and come up halfway on the celery, no more than halfway. Could be chicken broth, could be beef broth. When I have my own good homemade broth, I think this dish is divine, actually. But with canned broth, it's okay, too. And then you cover the pan and let the celery simmer until it's tender. And when it's tender, take the cover off the pan and put the pan over high heat and let all those juices, those celery and butter juices, reduce down until they're syrupy. And you pour that over your celery. A little pepper helps. Really good.
I've got something for you to make.
Pardon me?
With cabbage, when I had a friend once, this is years ago, who there was nothing to eat in the house. There was literally a bottle of banana peppers with the juice in it and cabbage.
Uh-huh.
He took the cabbage, chopped it up, put it in a pot, just poured in the banana peppers, right, and put in a little bit of pork, salt, and pepper, and then closed it and cooked it all down till it was like one quarter the size. It was the greatest taste.
Yeah, this sounds good. it also reminds me, now, on the diet that I'm on, peppers are not the lowest of carb vegetables, right, but they're okay in moderation. And one of the things that I love is little bits of fatty pork. I mean, you cut them into bite-sized pieces. Or you could do this with pork chops, or you could do this with good pork sausage. And cook it with diced up pickled peppers, or strips of pickled peppers. Depends on the size of your pickled pepper. Delicious. That's actually quite a traditional. And some people put potatoes in that too. Saute potatoes along with the meat, and then add the pickled peppers. That's actually a very traditional dish that's served around the pork slaughter, the pig slaughter. Pigs are slaughtered. The best parts, are like the ham, is preserved, prosciutto, or other kind of ham. Sausage are made. You eat the innards immediately, usually at some feast or at least dinner that's prepared after the slaughter. The blood goes into pudding. It's illegal in Italy too, but all my friends are farmers or no farmers who provide the blood for blood pudding and salami, you know. But and all the little trimmings get cut up and put in a big pan, and the fat is rendered, and the meat gets crispy. And served with potatoes and pickled peppers. I don't know too many things that are better than that.
I was going to say
ice cream. I do crave ice cream. And I've discovered two brands of no sugar, no carb ice cream, but they do have carbs. And I'm not up to that yet. I have, however, I should really mention this because there are commercials on TV. Heinz now has not just your regular old ketchup and your organic, which I've been buying for a while because I like the flavor a little better than the regular. Not that I'm complaining about regular Heinz. But they have a whole line of ketchups, including one no-sugar added ketchup, which I thought I was going to have to search for, maybe buy online, until I saw in my supermarket a new shelf just for Heinz ketchup with all the different flavors. So Heinz must be paying the supermarkets to market this on their shelves. So I bought it, and, you know, it's good. Good enough. I mean, it lacks something that regular ketchup doesn't, like some kind of body. It's a textural thing. And I'm sure sugar must add body to regular ketchup. It's pretty high in sugar.
Yeah.
And the other thing I bought, which I won't buy again, is frozen berries, because the best berry for a low-carb diet is strawberry. Strawberries are over. The last couple, over a long time, but, you know, they're still out there. Now we have strawberries 12 months of the year. But they not only were not very good, but they've gotten really expensive. And then all of a sudden, on Saturday, at one of my normal supermarkets, there they were, two big boxes for $5. And they ended up being the best strawberries I've had since early summer. So when they're in season. So what am I going to say? I think I have to just say goodbye.
Well, you can say goodbye, but do me a favor. The person who watches my dogs and is great and walks my dog and cleans my house, she brought something into my house called, it was called ice cream, but it was made out of like oats.
Uh-huh.
Don't buy it.
Vegan. It's vegan.
Don't buy it.
I won't. And also, I have to, don't buy Hallo. H-A-L-O. Although I do know somebody who swears by Hallo. This is a big brand of low-calorie ice cream. I literally threw my container away after a few spoonfuls. And then I saw my nephew that week, and he said, oh, don't buy Hallo. I threw it away. I said, I did the same. So, but, you know, I do know one person who swears by it. So, you know, to each his own.
That's exactly
right. De gustibus. Remember the column in the New York Times? It was Marion Burroughs' regular column, and I think maybe Craig Claiborne started it before Marion, and it was called De Gustibus, to your taste, or of taste, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I want you to have another great week then.
Yeah, well, I'm trying. I've lost a few pounds, and not to say I haven't. It's incredibly slow, but I'm sort of learning how to deal with it. As I said, I went to a restaurant yesterday for lunch, where I know I can get just grilled meat and a great salad, and I was really envious of the tables that had pizza on it.
<That's right. laughs>
I was really envious.
All right. I'll speak to you next week, Arthur.
All right. Let's see how maybe I'll suddenly drop 5 pounds.
All right, Arthur. Take care.
All right. Take care.
Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, this morning here on Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com on the web. Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467. On the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, rubiners.com. Hillsdale Home Chef, more information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com.